Well, good morning and happy new year to everyone. This is my first show of 2025, and pretty exciting because next week we celebrate our first anniversary of Jump in Tucson. Ed Ackerley was kind enough to invite me every Thursday weekday to come and talk to you about the attractions and tourism. And Visit Tucson was kind enough to help sponsor this show along with the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And so I guess a couple of real big thank yous initially get the show going. Matt, my producer over there in that window, they put a window between us so we don't throw things at each other. we have a tendency sometimes to go off script, and I should apologize if you hear my voice kind of faltering. Saw the grandkids, and they all had colds, of course, from when they go to school, and they gave it to old Papa. So I'll see if we can get through this hour without any well, probably a little bit of lack of oxygen, but we'll make it through, right, Matt?
Absolutely, Tom.
Matt's here to help me because we're going to do something a little bit different this show. We have been a little bit hesitant to have call-ins on a regular basis. There are some shows that we do that the guests would like to hear from the folks that are visiting them. But mostly the show has been in-depth interviews from the folks that run the attractions and some of the tourism facilities here in town. I think recently we had Hacienda Del Sol, the general manager and the VP of marketing and sales, and that was a very interesting show because these are two wonderful gentlemen that just came back into Tucson to run one of our premier historic hotels. And we've had probably well over 30 shows in the past year. I think, I didn't add them up, Matt, but probably if you take a look at all the guests that have been sitting around this table in the studio, probably over 100 guests. And boy, did time fly.
Sure. Yeah. A lot of, just looking at the Thursday show, you've given the listeners a great cross sample, a cross section of what's out there to see, and maybe they might have heard some changes since maybe the last time they went to Benson or Tombstone or Old Tucson or all these great, or the Tucson Auto Museum that is moving into the old Hidden Valley Inn on Sabino Canyon. They'll be reopening in a couple of weeks, hopefully sometime later this month or maybe early next month. But so. Not only maybe they didn't hear about certain they didn't know about certain things, but you've given them listen to, you've given them some information on maybe what might have changed at some of their old favorite places.
Well, thank you, Matt. I know it's there's a lot of information out there, and here in Tucson, we like to say that we have some of the best collection of world-class attractions, and I the number and the variety is just huge. Now, but all of Arizona has many, many attractions, and we try to cross-promote each other. 50% of our tourists that come to our Southern Arizona region are from the state of Arizona. So, you know, what that means is that we don't have to spend a tremendous amount of money out there, like some destinations, because they don't have the in-state travel that we have here. So it's very important that we cross-promote each other. Obviously, the Grand Canyon is the granddaddy. Have you been, Matt?
Of course.
I have to tell you, they got that thing worked out.
In the last few years we've been.
You can South Rim and the North Rim, and of course it's all part of Native American land, and we respect the tribes that are up there, and they've done some wonderful things where you can actually go through this bridge and look down on the Grand Canyon and the transportation system. So you can get, so, you know, a lot of the folks are going to Grand Canyon, and we got to get them to go south. And then a lot of the folks are coming here because of our wonderful weather and our Sonoran Desert and the Saguaro Cactus, and they're going up north. So this is a little bit different than what we've been doing over the last, well, at least in my history here of 20 plus years, starting out at Old Tucson in 1997 and moving into Pima County and helping them on tourism, and was working side by side with Visit Tucson, as I mentioned, our sponsor of this show. So this show's doesn't really have any formal guests like every show that we've had Thursday, except for, I have to say, a big thank you goes out to Big Al for jumping in here at least two times this year. We talked about the Velodrome, which is coming under construction, actually, and over there near the fairgrounds. And we also talked about Old Tucson and its wonderful Christmas and holiday promotion, Yuletide. Big Al handled that one very comfortably. And, of course, Papa Noel, he was here, and he talked about all of the different holiday events, and it just, if you go back, and I think they're all archived on KVOI.com, you can kind of refresh yourself and learn maybe some things that you didn't quite hear the first time around. I think last week we did run a best of my first show in January.
Yeah, the Desert Museum.
Yes, sir. It was the Desert Museum, and we had learned all about some of the new exhibits that are going on there. And I think let's start it with that, because I have to tell you, since the last time we had the Desert Museum here, that there is this wonderful large species of reptiles that have found their way into the Sonoran Desert. Did you know about this story, Matt?
Well, tee me up here and let's see.
Well,
isn't the dinosaur over at the McDonald's on Tinkerbird?
No,
and,
these dinosaurs are actually lurking in the Sonoran Desert, and they're hanging out at the Desert Museum, and they're going to be there. I think through
the Snowbirdosaurus.
Well, they come and go, as you know. But these dinosaurs are full size. They're animated. They're in a natural habitat. And, you know, if you know anything about the history of Arizona, we've been home to a lot of dinosaurs many, many, many millions of years ago, and they found lots of fossils, remnants that they were indeed inhabiting the Sonoran Desert, and they're back at the Desert Museum. And I know children love dinosaurs, and big kids as well, like you and I, Matt. We first saw dinosaurs kind of in a different light with Jurassic Park and Jurassic 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and maybe 5, I don't know, thanks to Steven Spielberg. But and George, was George Lucas involved in that? I can't remember. But anyway, they're back, and that's one of the things that we'll be talking about, is what is new at the attractions that we're aware of. And, of course, but this show, because we're nearing our first break, is going to be about you, the folks, the guests, the listening audience. And after we get into the second break, after we get done with the first break, I should say, during the second segment, we want to make sure that you get a chance to call in. And Matt, how can they call in?
520-790-2040, 790-2040.
Now, what we want to do is hear about your experiences through 2024. We'd like to talk about your favorite attraction and why it was your favorite attraction, and then maybe some insight on the things you like to see. So we'll be back. This is Jump in Tucson, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host every Thursday. We'll see you in a little bit. Well, welcome back. This is Tom Moulton, your host of Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson, and happy New Year. As I was mentioning in the first segment, this is going to be a little bit of a different show, as we're going to allow call-ins, and we'd like to have you call in and share your experiences at one of the attractions during the 2024. We love to hear you, and as we're waiting for that first call, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about what are some of the things that are happening now or into 25. Now, first, I should mention that the Yuletide still continues at Old Tucson for a little bit, the first week here in January. And also the special lights going on at Tucson Botanical Gardens are still going on as well. So if you're here for the New Year's weekend, you'll still be able to enjoy some of those holiday lights. And back to Old Tucson, I noticed on their website they've been talking about bringing back the, and what we used to call when I was there, the annual pass, which means you can have unlimited visits to Old Tucson through the year. They introduced a special pass during Yuletide, which is good for Yuletide and for the Western experiences coming up on January 18th, where they go back to the roots of Old Tucson, and you get to enjoy everything. The Old West was good, gunfights and dance hall girls and stunt shows. And
Sarsaparilla. I remember having sarsaparilla there. It was so much fun to go there as a kid.
If you've never had sarsaparilla, it's like birch beer. Some people call it root beer. That's available. And, of course, you could probably get an adult drink, tequila, you know, grown not too far down south here. I think that they have that as well. But it's a family park and Western experiences. And now you can get a new season pass at a very, very special price. That they brought that back when I was there as GM in 97 to 2001, and then their landlord for a few years after that. We had the annual pass, and it was good for as many times you wanted to go. And we had concerts and different new shows and special events and so on and so forth. And I think all of those are going to be available for you. There may be an exception, one or two or here or there, but the season pass is, you can buy that online. And they have a lot of things that are, they're planned. I'm not sure, Matt, if I could reveal too many of the secrets. I didn't have to fill out any paperwork, but
non-disclosure forms were signed.
But it could be, I heard a rumor.
Okay.
And the rumor is that they're going to be adding some new things to Old Tucson. The group that runs the manages is called the Heritage Railroad, and they're out of Durango, and they're very, very keen on anything to do with the Old West, and certainly Tucson is just full of history, and they'll be bringing some new things for the kids to do, which is going to be, I really think, super. Of course, they have a miniature train, and as you know from previous shows, since they run a Heritage Railroad, I keep asking them, when are you going to bring one of those big engines back? Because, you know, the Reno ended up going back to Virginia, where it was built, and they're actually renovating the Reno from top to bottom. So you'll soon see the Reno appear, we hope, back in Western movies. And of course, you can go there to their museum, and maybe they'll come back for a surprise visit. You just never know. But it would be nice to have a steam locomotive back at Old Tucson. Good for the movies, because it's still a movie studio. If you go on to Netflix, you're going to find some movies, especially Westerns, that are still shot here, whether it be a Mescal, which is you could remember that from Quick and the Dead. That was the home of the movie Tombstone, when they went and visited Tombstone. Of course, they filmed at Old Tucson as well. So lots and lots of new stuff going on at Old Tucson. But the family experiences return on January 18th, and they go all the way through to May. I don't think they go quite through to Memorial Day. And then, of course, we don't know what's be going on for their summer. That's still a surprise. But we hope that you're going to want to get that season pass, because, one, it's a special price, and you can go back as many, many times as you want. And then we had the mini time machine here not too long ago, Matt. And, you know, they have a new very creative executive director out there. Came from the Arizona Theater. Been in the arts for a long time. And he talked, when he was here, about the iconic Broadway designs of David Horns. Now, David was a three-time Tony Award nominated Broadway designer, and some of the Broadway set models that you may recall were from Hamilton, Beetlejuice, Here Lies Love, and The Who's Tommy. So sometimes what happens is, before they build the big set, the one on Broadway, they build little miniature sets to extreme detail. And Mini Time Machine has these models there for you to see. And it's pretty neat. You know, so you got to, you know, head on over to the Mini Time Machine of miniatures.
It's called Stages of Imagination, the iconic Broadway designs of David Korns. And
yes,
just fantastic from everything I've heard. I haven't made it over there, but I will before it's here through May 31st. So get on over there while you can and see this. This is a real treat for us at the Mini Time Machine Museum of Miniatures.
And you know what, Matt? There's more.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, because coming this fall, for those that remember the movie Jason and Argonauts, remember that? Medusa and the sword fight with the skeletons? Well, that's called stop motion animation.
Yep.
And the gentleman that created this is a fellow named Harry Hawson. And he's not with us anymore, but his legacy lives on. So for all you science fiction buffs, boy, I tell you what, there's going to have an exhibit that talks about shows, how we did it. And I don't tell you, growing up in the 50s and 60s, whether it be the dinosaurs or whether it be some of these, you know, period movies with you know, icons from the good old days, the gods, mythical gods. He was the guy behind a lot of that brand new. They didn't have CGI back then, Matt.
Yep.
So they had to do it one frame at a time.
Think about the animation that you see on television. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer played over the holidays, right over Christmas. But think of that kind of animation, that stop motion animation. This is a real. This isn't even on their website. So you're giving everybody a scoop. That's going to be a fantastic exhibit.
I'm excited about that. It's it's a very comfortable indoor. So of course our weather has been so super right now, and let's see how long that lasts. But take advantage of this wonderful outdoor weather in the wake up in the 45s to take the coat off by 10 o'clock and you're out there in your shirt sleeves and enjoying all of our state parks and our national parks and just all the things there are to do outdoor adventure wise. The Desert Museum in Old Tucson, we've already mentioned them in some of the holiday promotions that are still now. Let's see, how much time do we got here?
Before we're out.
All right, so we'll just tease this one just a little bit because it's going to be, it's actually ongoing right now. And, one of the things that has been happening a lot is babies at Reed Park Zoo. That is such a testimonial to the way they have built the natural habitats out there, because the animals, and especially important to the species survival plan, a lot of these animals that you find at the zoo now, you don't find too many of them in the wild, or you don't find them in the wild. And all of the zoos around the world have signed on to the Species Survival Act. And I have to tell you, Reed Park Zoo is certainly setting the example. And we're going to learn more about all of the different. They just did the 12 new animals of the Reed Park Zoo, and I'm going to share some of that with you when we come back. This is Jump in Tucson, and we're having a special show. And if you want to talk to me and tell me about your favorite experience at your attractions, please give us a call.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you want to talk about your favorite tourist attractions. A reminder, if you'd like to talk about your favorite Southern Arizona tourist attractions in this new year, especially maybe you've got some winter visitors coming out to see you, where you're going to be taking them, give us a call, 520-790-2040, 520-790-2040. Tom's going to be talking about the Southern Arizona Tourism Passport, right, Tom?
Hey, we got something to give away as well for the folks that can call in and share a few words about their favorite attraction through 2024. Well, before we went on break, we were going to share some information about the 12 new animals at the Reed Park Zoo. Now, this started about a month ago, and it's a feature on their website. And that was called the 12 Days of Animal Intros. And if you had a chance to see it on their website, that's great. But if you haven't, you're going to hear it again here, because I have to tell you, this is not a little zoo anymore. When I got here, and it was a cute little zoo, it had polar bears, of all things. Obviously, there are no more polar bears. This was not the great environment for the polar bears. Maybe Flagstaff would have been. And maybe there's polar bears up in Flagstaff. I don't know. But over the years, led by really the zoological family up there, and the executive director who's been on the show, Nancy, and Debbie, Mike, marketing director, who came from the Tampa Zoo, and of course, there was a lady, and I believe her name was Susan, and she ran one of the animal demonstrations up in the Desert Museum, where you had the birds of prey. I don't remember if you remember that show. It's still going on at the Desert Museum during the, what we call the high season. And she became the head of the animal program. I believe that's her name. Boy, correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Call in. It's a wonderful show, and it goes on only at the Desert Museum. It's not a show, though. They call it, it's animal behavior. The things that the hawks do, bird of prey, is something they do in the wild. Okay, and the they'll actually fly right by you. Some people say they even feel their feathers as they go by. So that's something we talked about the dinosaurs, but the birds of prey demonstration is a super, super experience that you don't want to miss. Now, let's get to the 12 days of the animal intros. We talked briefly about all the babies. I think they got another baby elephant, if I remember, Deborah told me. And I don't know if that makes the third baby elephant, but there had been a lot of baby elephants when they expanded their territory, expanded the exhibit. The elephant just keep growing there. They keep having babies, which is great. Now, some of these, Matt, I don't know if you've heard of some of these, so I'm just going to kind of go through them because there's 12 of them. But the first one they talk about is the Amazon milk frogs. And as you know, if you ever get a chance to visit the rainforest, there's a wide variety of little baby frogs to big frogs.
All right.
And some of them, you have to be careful. You don't want to touch them.
Okay.
So the second one is, as they're saying, there's a new bird in town, and it's called the Abdim's Storks. And so they have two of those, you know, so you get a chance to see those. They're also known as grasshopper storks. So the female enjoys large king worms, and the male prefers smaller mealworms. So you heard it here. Jump in Tucson. Now, this is something that is right up, Matt, because, you know, I know you like creepy things. The curly-haired tarantula.
All right.
Oh, boy. I tell you what. It's named for its long golden hairs that curl above its shorter, dark brown bristles, giving it a curled, woolly look.
Okay.
Boy, I can't wait to see that one.
Right.
Ooh. Now, I've had the opportunity to know people that are just terrified of snakes. Matter of fact, they almost go in, they faint, they go into a trance. And that was my old HR manager at Old Tucson, God rest her soul, Karen. She's not with us anymore. But whenever she would see a snake, and you can see a few rattlesnakes out there at Old Tucson, the rainbow boa.
All right.
Oh, boy. It's one of the species you can see in the zoo's new rock work habitat in the Conservation Learning Center. So you don't want to miss that. This one I may have trouble pronouncing, Matt, Lesser Hedgehog Tenrex.
Okay.
He's the newest ambassador animal on the block, and he's related to moles and shrews rather than hedgehogs.
Well.
Oh, boy. According to this, they are, once the sisters are settled in, they'll start training to visit with the public during the zoo's daily ambassador animal encounters.
Okay.
Now, that is what is really unique about some of our attractions here, where you can actually see them up close as you walk around the zoo and the Desert Museum. The docent programs, some people call them volunteer programs, but the docent programs are a group of volunteers, very knowledgeable, and they'll actually be out on the grounds, and you get to see, maybe sometimes even carefully touch some of these animals. I know you're just dying to touch the tarantula. Now, speaking of frogs, back in the Conservation Learning Center, in the rock work habitats, there's also another new frog called the white tree frog, okay? Mm. And these are predators, and they have special teeth that okay. shift from watery to sticky to catch food.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so you'll probably get to, that's probably your favorite during feeding time there at the zoo. Speaking of that, one of the renovations years ago was that I had a tour from Nancy, was the where they prepare all the food for the zoo animals.
Sure, that'd be neat to see.
If you have any understanding of what a human kitchen where they prepare food at restaurants is, just throw that away, because a lot of these the food that are served up to the animals are live.
Okay.
they're not dead.
So you don't have to worry about what internal temperature to cook them to.
Yeah,
you just need to make sure they're healthy enough to be eaten by another animal.
Beetles, worms, they're all good, Now, not to undo with reptiles, the crested gecko is brand new out there. And there's a Henkel's leaf-tailed gecko. Okay. And again, if you've been to the Desert Museum, they have a tremendous reptile collection out there. My old friend Craig Ivani, who's also the executive director, and he's actually leaving, and we hope to have him on our show next week.
This isn't their legal team. These are actual reptiles.
These are the creepy, cold-blooded animals that you are used to being near.
Okay.
Only when you're outdoors, though. All right, so probably the cutest animals that I see as part of these 12 days of new animals is the Southern Tamandua pup. Okay, and their nickname is Icky.
Okay,
and it's named not because they're icky, but it's named because it's a national park in Brazil, which is part of the species native range, okay? Now, this was born in the zoo in late September, so it's another baby that was born. And you can see live behind the scenes, sometimes they make an appearance at the animal encounter. So this is it. Is that calling this a huge success for the conservation of these species? As we mentioned, a lot of these species are in danger, or you only can see them at the zoo. Now, we're almost done. The rosette spoonbill, okay, from South America. It's in, it just reintroduced a new male to pair with females. So more babies, are forthcoming.
Nice work if you can get
it. And these are really beautiful birds. The blue-gray tanager, that's another bird, and it's from Mexico to the Amazon basin, and you'll find them in Trinidad, and they're known as the blue gene because of the beautiful blue feathers. All right, now, the last one, I have no idea how to say this, and because they're a unique species of salamanders. And, you know, that's an amphibian. You know, they like it in and out of the water, and they can breathe. And it's, oh, boy. Axolotus, just like it sounds. Maybe lotus. And they're a new species of salamander. Now, all of these were introduced in the 12 days of animal intros of the Reed Bark Zoo. But if you didn't read it, now you can say that you heard it here live on Jump In Tucson. And, you know, clearly you heard it here.
Well, Tom, why don't we step out of here for a minute? And you got a caller on the line, so we'll step out for a quick break. And then Bunker's got a comment about a favorite attraction.
All right, so hang in there, Bunker, and we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is Tucson, Jump In Tucson, I should say, and I'm Tom Moulton, your host. Well, welcome back. This is Tom Moulton, and you're listening to Jump In Tucson. I'm your host every Thursday, and we'll be back next Thursday. But before I mention any more about that, our one-year anniversary of Tucson Jump In will be coming up this Monday with all of the hosts that are included in Jump In Tucson, from Grant from St. Philip's Plaza to Ted from the SLAC to, of course, Dr. Ackerley. We'll all be, and Big Al will be here as well, and we'll all be talking and telling you stories about how our first year of this brand new show and all of the experiences and the fun we've been having. And then we got a big party that's going on at St. Philip's Plaza that evening. So come on over to the union, a public union, in the evening around 5:30, 6 o'clock. And we'll be celebrating our first anniversary of Jump In Tucson. And we really want to give a big thanks to Bustos Media and Patty and all of her folks and Matt, our producer, and for really helping us learn how to do a professional radio show where we feature a lot of the community leaders here in the community. Now, we have a wonderful person that I understand, Matt, that's on the phone, and he wants to tell us about his experiences at one of the attractions. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Tom. I enjoyed your segment on the zoo. That was awesome. And I also enjoy your musings about old Tucson. But as getting to my favorite attraction, yesterday I made my annual trip up to Mount Lemmon. Oh. I had not been to the lodge, so I experienced that. Had a little meal up there. Wonderful drive. And I have to say, it was unusual because there were more bicycles going up that mountain. I thought I was in one of the mountain stages of the Tour de France. It was just awesome.
Well, as you know, Mount Lemmon is known for its ski resort. Unfortunately, I don't think there's been a bit of snow up there. They're having to probably dig into their savings account. But I agree with you. Their chili, their corn muffins at the lodge is just absolutely. And you know, they have pies up there too. So and
yeah, they do.
Did you get a chance to ride the Skyride?
No, I stayed away from that. I generally go up to the Iron Door and have a bowl of chili up there, but I wanted to try out the new lodge, and I really enjoyed it. Beautiful. I sat there and read an Arizona highways while I was by the fireplace, and just it's a beautiful. I recommend everybody go up there any time of year, but I think it's especially cool in the wintertime. I grew up in Rio Doce, New Mexico. It's like going home for me.
Well, we had an opportunity to go to the lodge. I think the second or third day it was open. We spent the morning over in Ski Valley, and then we had lunch, a very wonderful lunch there with the owner, and then visited her brand new gift shop. And then we snuck over to the lodge and had some dessert and some coffee, and literally they had just opened that week, and the views are and it doesn't take much to see that everywhere you turn there's beautiful views, but I'm hoping they'll have a little bit of snow.
Amen.
But I don't want the good weather to go away. It's okay because it can snow
up. I want the snow.
Yes.
I want snow down in the valley, too.
Well, you know, I've lived here since 1997, and I've seen snow four times. And I enjoyed the one day before it melt. Now, I really appreciate you calling in and enjoying the show. For you, we have two brand-new Arizona Savings passports, all the attractions in Tucson, and some bonus attractions in the Phoenix Tempe area. And you're going to hang on because Matt's going to tell you how to pick it up here at the station. I got a pair of them in here for you, so you can do some big savings throughout the year with the savings passport. So thank you much for calling in, and you have a happy new year.
Happy new year. Bye-bye.
Now, speaking of the passport, we got a couple of minutes left. The new Tucson Attractions and Arizona passport is out. There are several locations, the chambers and visitor centers, and of course you can buy it online. There's four different kind of passports now. You do have the annual paper passport is the ones that you want to buy at the retail locations. And then, of course, there's three digital passports, a three-day, a seven-day, and an annual passport, which means that you can use this passport through December 31st, 2025. Lots of big savings in there, over 100 experiences. And we're a nonprofit organization here at the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and most of the attractions are nonprofits as well. So anytime you buy a book, it supports not only us, but it also supports the attraction that you're visiting. Well, I want to thank you for visiting with us during the end of the year or the beginning of the year show, however you like. We hope that you learned a little bit more about what's coming to the attractions. There's a lot more, you know, to read about, and a lot more that's going to be happening. And you can go to TucsonAttractions.com or ExploreArizonaAttractions.com, and you can enjoy and read about all the different attractions in our region, as well as a few of the ones that, you know, they have properties, you know, in Arizona. So this is Jump in Tucson. Join us Monday. Dr. Ackerley will welcome all of the folks from the Jump in Tucson weekday shows, and that'll be at 9 o'clock on Monday. And I've really enjoyed the year, and we're going to be back, all of us, for 2025. So I guess I get to be the big announcer, is that the crew will be back, and we're looking for it. And we want to thank Dr. Ackerley and Visit Tucson and Bustos Media. This is Jump in Tucson. I'm Tom Moulton, and Happy New Year.